Lord God, such a precious gift. You're with us. When all seems overwhelming, we're surrounded by you. So we praise you for that, and we thank you that we can come today and just be together to think on you as the Lord of hosts who goes before us. And God, would you meet with us as we open up your word now, and as then we go into a response time after now. Would you work? Would you work on each of our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. And thank you, worship team. I'm going to do a shorter message today because I just felt as I was preparing like there is going to be a response time afterwards. A chance for prayer. A chance for us to lay down our burdens and allow the God to just surround us. And so may God prepare your heart as we read the word and as that we dig in to give you the boldness and courage to respond. Well, we talked about dogs earlier and pets, and they are companions. They are the thing that helps us from being lonely. Pets are these wonderful creatures that become our BFFs in some case, that help us through so much. Could do anything. And that unrelenting love of a dog that when we come in the door, no matter what happened, he's there to receive us with these eyes, or she, and just licks and cuddles. And when we see that picture is one that I think we mistakenly portray too much of on God. He's our best buddy, Jesus and me. He never leaves us. He will never be alone. We have such great personal time at home and with him, and it's just so nice. But then we go off to work. Then we play. Then we leave him, thinking that he'll be right there, bright-eyed, wagging tail when we get home. In this way, God becomes our BFF, our companion. He makes us feel good and like we're not alone. And don't get me wrong, these are all good things. And God is those things. But when we emphasize too much on a certain part of God's character, it distorts the fullness of who God is. I love this about the Bible, that we can learn more and more about the amazingness of God. And the life that he's given us, and the freedom he's given us, and the purpose. So let's dig into the text. Let's dig in and see some of the other parts of God's character. So poke, flip, swipe to Exodus 34. We're going to be starting in verse 1. And if you're poking around, make sure you're in the ESV. If you were here last week, we entered into Exodus 32 and 33, and Pastor Jer came up. And it was all about the golden calf that the Israelites quickly replaced God because Moses was up too long on the mountain. And so they worshiped this golden calf. And then in the end, Moses came back down angry and dropped the tablets, cracking them, crushing them, crushed up the golden calf and made them drink it. And then pleaded with God for forgiveness. And he would. And now we enter into this time where Moses is getting ready to go back up the mountain. And so join me as we dig into the text in Exodus 34. The Lord said to Moses, "Cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready by morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite that mountain." So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, And he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And this same name, this same description that God uses for himself is used 11 times in Scripture. So we should take note of it. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And then hear Moses' response to this. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped God. When he came down from the mountain, he would be glowing with the presence of the Lord. He had been in his presence. He had seen his glory and heard this description. And Moses says, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquities and our sin, and take us for our inheritance. And then God renews his covenant with his people. And in this covenant, God is the one who does most of the covenanting. God, the Lord of hosts, mighty in power, is doing all the heavy lifting. See if you can pick it up as we read verse 10. And he said, behold, I am making a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels, such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. And then he continues and he goes on to say what Israel's part is, what the Israelites' part is. And it says, observe what I command you this day. That's their part. Now back to God's. Behold, I will drive out before you the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Take care lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it become a snare in your midst. Do you hear that? I will drive out before you. I will go before you. You see, God, the Lord of hosts, is not this simple, amazing companion that walks beside us to make us feel good. He is a powerful, the Lord of hosts, who goes before us. I think sometimes we miss that. You see, the covenant was God goes before us. God does amazing thing in our midst. And our part is to observe what he was commanding, to live out our part in the covenant. When we put God first and obey him, when our focus is on him, this is the life to the full that Jesus talks about. This is the life where we see amazing things happen by his power in our lives and in the people around us. You see, friends, the battle has already been won. God goes before us, and we see that throughout Israel's history. We'll look at the Israelites walking around the desert in a bit, as Pastor Jer portrayed. But let's move a little more forward into Joshua, where they take the promised land. You see, Joshua 3 tells us that the Israelites entered the promised land, but as they did, there was a thing in their way. It was a massive overflowing river, the Jordan, during peak season. But all the priests had to do is have their feet touch the edge of the water. And suddenly, this impassable river became passable as the Lord of hosts pushed the water back and allowed them to walk on dry land across. Joshua 5 tells us that this terrified the nations, that he was preparing the way for them to go into the promised land. And what did they see first? This massive fortified city of Jericho. And God was there. God had gone before them. Yes, they walked around that city like nobody's business. They did it a lot. They did it in faith, and they shouted at the walls. But I don't know if you've ever shouted at the walls, but they don't come down when you shout. They come down because the Lord of hosts was with them, went before them. And in that moment, they received victory at the hand of the Lord of hosts. This happened numerous times as they took the promised land. Five Amorite kings and their armies were there, and the Israelites were winning the battle, but the sun was going down, and literally the sun was frozen in the sky so that the battle could be done. For 24 hours, the sun stood there. Have you done the thinking on science? The best I can guess on this is that God literally stopped the rotation of the earth for a full day. He is the Lord of hosts. He is powerful. And he goes before us. 31 different armies from 31 different kings were defeated by the Israelites in taking the promised land. And they did it because the Lord of hosts went before them. You have King David. King David as a boy fighting a massive 7-foot-tall phenom of the battlefield, Goliath. And he had a stone and a sling. He didn't need 5 of them. He needed the Lord of hosts to go before him. And he did. Let's fast forward just to give you an overview of how God works and goes before us. We have Peter standing up at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has just come upon the disciples and all the people in the room. And Peter gives the single most greatest sermon response in Scripture. The Lord of hosts goes before him. The Holy Spirit prepares hearts. And in this beautiful sweet spot, it's Pentecost. Everybody's there. The Lord of hosts orchestrates it all. And 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus and are baptized. I'm talking like adding 6 services and blowing out some walls to fit all the people in the new church. The Holy Spirit did an incredible work that day. The Lord of hosts that goes before us. He is not our puppy dog. He is the powerful, as Anya said, Lord of heaven's army. And I realize the reason I highlight these stories of God's power, and we could be here all day naming them, but I name a couple because I think that there is something that's going to happen in this room. Something that God is working in our hearts. And we're going to give an opportunity for you to respond. Because he is the God who goes before you. And I'm not talking a health and wellness kind of prosperity gospel here. I'm talking about this. That as we align our lives to God's purpose and live lives of worship, God is with us and he goes before us. He loves us. You are his son. You are his daughter. He is going before you in your situations for his glory and for your betterment. And one of the greatest ways that we see this, as God is the Lord of hosts, setting up everything and going before us, is that he went before us against Satan. The covenant continues because if you give your life to Jesus, what he did for us, he went before us and gained victory over sin, Satan, and death once and for all by his death on the cross, by his resurrection, and by the sending of his Spirit in this intimate relationship that we get to have with Jesus as he works on our heart and as he works through us. He is the Lord of hosts who goes before you. And that covenant is the same. If we put our trust in Jesus, if we give up control, we make horrible gods for ourselves. When we are in control, that's where hurt and pain and bad decisions come. But when we embrace all that he has for us, the Lord of hosts, he goes before us and he's with us. And as we set up for this time of reflection, I just want to look back on this amazing imagery of the Israelite story. The Israelites set up the tabernacle with the specifications God gave them. And after setting up the tabernacle, which is a portable meeting space where God dwells, God does forgive them, and he sets up this amazing imagery, a tangible display of his presence. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Israelites would stay in the place where God's presence dwelt. And the pillar of cloud would be over the tabernacle. And then when it was time, because God had prepared the way, the cloud would lift. And they would follow the pillar to the next place God had for them. This is just such amazing imagery. That God is with you. That he goes before you. And I would love to take some time right now. I deleted part of my message and made sure we just wanted to craft time for reflection. I invite the worship team forward now. And as we sing a couple songs together, I just invite you right now to just close your eyes. Just to take all the distractions away. I think for some of us, I think we need to be reminded that we have a mighty God that goes before us. You might be just so overwhelmed with life. Anxiety might be crippling you at times, or tasks and worries are too much, are almost too much. And the problem is that sometimes we just have too tight a grip of control on things. All the plans we have and the things we're doing is of our own strength because we've lost sight of the pillar. We've demoted God to a companion. And for some of us, we need to rekindle that trust in God for our situation. God is standing here with just open arms. Revelation 3:20 says that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." He wants to say to you, if you're in this place, let go, my child. Let me take your burdens. Let me take control once again. That might be you. But there's other people here. For you, there might be some of you feeling called to something scary. Maybe you're already living that next step, that next place that cloud is going. You're in the midst of that ministry and you're feeling unqualified and overwhelmed. 2 Corinthians 12 comes to mind that says God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. You're going to marvel at what God does in and through you. If that's you, would you use this time? And I have one more on my heart from this morning. I think there's still over us that are in this waiting period. You're waiting on a diagnosis. You're waiting for healing, maybe. You're persevering in a relationship, in a job setting. You have somebody that you want to know Jesus so much. And there's waiting. That pillar is holding strong to that tabernacle. It's not shipping off. And friend, you need to hear that God is a powerful Lord of hosts. And he's got you. He's got this 30,000 feet perspective of your life. And we can trust the Lord of hosts with it. Can renew that trust in him. Lay down any distrust due to impatience and ask God to renew your strength, your hope, and life in the situation. So we've carved out some time today so that each of us in the same room can spend some time with our powerful Father. He loves you and he goes before you. So you can do that at your seats. But I'm an experiential person. And I just welcome you to just come kneel at the front here. Lay your burden. Lay yourself down. To embrace his presence that is with you and goes before you. To embrace his presence and let go of control. To embrace his presence in the waiting. We're a church that prays. And so just one more thing and then we'll have some time. If there's people, and we're going to get them to come right now forward. And if you need prayer, please do not leave this place without praying with me or praying with these. Yeah, come right now, prayer partners. It would make our day and it would bring us to such joy if we could pray for you. Don't miss this time of responding. What God wants to do something in your heart. The worship team's going to play and I just invite you to respond. God, in view of who you are, we welcome you here to work on our hearts. Come and meet with each of us during this time to respond. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.